Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
I'm thinking about not answering. You know, I was thinking about not answering just because, you know, yeah. Boo. You can boo yourself. 24 minutes late. Nice of you to show up, my friend.
Yeah, man. Thank you. How are you guys?
You know, we were going to give you this like huge introduction like we do for everybody and like stroke your ego a little bit. But now I'm just going to be like, here's this guy that I got to meet in person for the first time last week. We had a great week, spent a lot of time, but he also thought I was 50 years old, which really hurt me to my core. And yeah, that's really, here's Sam Cole, everybody. Or should we call you Cone? Con? What do they call you in the Good Morning America?
They call me Sam Cone.
Sam Cone.
Yeah.
Here's Sam Cone. He is one half of the Genius Bar podcast, which everybody loves and you should totally go check out, along with John Prosser. He is the co-host. He runs his own YouTube channel and also Apple Track, but, you know, it's Sam Cone. That's what we're going to go with. He's 24 minutes late to our recording. But we're going to forgive him and we're going to move on. But how's it going, buddy? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys? We're just jumping right into this, aren't we?
Are you awake?
No, I'm somewhere else, but I'm also happy to be here. Thank you guys. I'm sorry. I'm the worst and it's nice to meet you.
It's fine. It happens. We were actually about to do something really stupid, which we might honestly revisit for the future, but okay. We were getting desperate because we're like, we're going to record this. I don't know who to ask last minute to join, and I don't want to do that. So, like, why don't we just ask people on Twitter if we could, like, get them to join? And we were just going to blast out the link and just see who calls.
That's amazing.
And we might do this in the future. So if you're listening, just, you know, keep it locked into the Mac Rumors Twitter account. But but today we have Sam, thankfully. I think this is going to make for a much better episode. And we'll just jump right into it. We got the new MacBook Pros last week, so that's what we'll start off. We'll start off with something easy. Did you get a chance to actually use yours?
I spent some time with it. It was fine.
That's kind of how I feel.
It's like, I don't know. Hartley, did you get to use it?
No, I haven't, and I can't say that I would be remotely excited to try it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's like, it's fine. And people are mad the SSD's slower. That's, I guess, the controversy.
But is it slower?
And then the M1, the base model.
Is it actually slower? Because I made this whole video. This is a little behind the scenes. I made this whole video and we didn't publish it because we got different results than what everybody else did. And I don't want to, you know, go through all that. But yes, the benchmarks that we got, they were substantially slower, but, you know, like just transferring files to and from, you know, SSDs and just using it normally, I actually got faster speeds on the M2, which was weird. So I don't really know what to believe. Mine seems fine in terms of like how it's going, but I don't know.
You should publish
maybe Apple tries to. Maybe Apple have tried to kind of mitigate what they know is a drawback through some kind of software workarounds that kick in under certain operations. So maybe if you always take the worst possible benchmarks, then it will show what's going on. But maybe sometimes it isn't quite so bad.
Are you a user of the Touch Bar? You seem like a user of the Touch Bar.
Wow. So I show up late and then you throw that in my face. There's a lot of things that you could have said to me, but that's past the line, Dan, quite frankly.
I said we wanted to get John on the podcast and roast you for an hour for being late.
Bro, I hate the Touch Bar. I hate it.
It's not very useful. Harley, do you like the Touch Bar? I don't remember this.
I used to think that I liked it until I didn't have it anymore, and then I realized what I'd been missing.
Yeah. No, that's exactly
kind of nice. When you have certain workflows, like sometimes if you're editing an image or something and you get an image sort of editor that's been built to work with a touch bar, maybe it can be useful. But I mean, realistically, it's not.
Like I liked the idea of it, but I don't know. I think, did we talk about this? Like that Asus or Acer computer that has like the dual screens. I feel like that was me and you that were talking about that. Sam, that would have been cool, but like, I don't know. The touch bar is kind of garbage in the sense of like, for me and for most people that I've talked to, like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense for me to move my hands up to touch that when I could just do a keyboard command. If there were a lot more things that there weren't keyboard commands for or keyboard shortcuts, then it would make more sense, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for the situations where you could like go into photos and like browse things or Final Cut scrubbing, maybe. But again, it's just software buttons never work like at that angle. Like I feel like Apple was just like, we're not going to put a touchscreen on the Mac, so we're going to do this. And yeah, it seemed really cool. And I definitely lied to myself as well, Hartley, for like 2 or 3 years where I was like, no, this is good because it's all that I had. But like I look back now and it's like the 2016 to 2019 MacBook Pros were like, Apple somehow went from like some of the worst products they've ever made to the best products they've ever made with the M1 Pro and M1 Max 14 and 16 inches. Like they completely turned it around. I don't know another example of a product where they went from everyone like universally is like, these are not very good, to everyone being like, these are the best laptops in the world. It's pretty impressive, but it just sucks we had to go through that for 4 years. It's 4 years of pain. That was my entire college experience, to be clear. Like, I was the college student who used that.
And so how frustrated were you with the keyboard for that 4 years?
I mean, luckily it never impacted me. Like, I never had it break. Actually, no, I take that back. I think one of the keys did start to get stuck. But I was one of those things where I was too loyal. Like, I could not use a Mac. I was like, I'm not going to switch to a PC. Like, there's no, I can't work from there.
Let's
I'm
do the PC heathen. Slander. No, we're not heathens at all. I always liked the butterfly keyboard. I liked the way it felt. I liked the way it sounded. Mm-hmm. I also never had any issues, so I'm very biased in that sense. But, those MacBooks were kind of bad, to be honest. So now that we're transitioning over to something that basically looks exactly the same, don't be fooled, because inside with the MacBook Pro, it's actually pretty good in terms of the processing power and everything. I mean, there are some modest updates to it or upgrades. It's improved, but I mean, it is very underwhelming when you see that it's basically just the M2 shoved inside of the old MacBook's body from the M1.
Yeah. I mean, I think Apple's idea was like the MacBook Air is going to be delayed a bit because, you know, of production issues. So let's give the people the MacBook Pro earlier than we said we were going to do it. I think the problem is I think that was their intention, but I don't think they realized that people just want something exciting, and especially tech where it is right now. You know, people were kind of wanting something more. It's just kind of bleh. Like to show your new processor in an old body. M1 was different because it was totally new, right? Like we'd never seen it before, but I feel like, honestly, they probably should have waited and just done it in the M2 MacBook Air, because that would have told the whole story. This is just telling like half of it, and I feel like a lot of people are underwhelmed.
I agree. I think it would have given M2 better press than it actually has got. I think the fact that it's launched in such an ultimately a mediocre device has kind of colored the coverage of M2 as being not that impressive. Which is a shame. And obviously, Apple has decided that it's in their interests to launch devices with new chips in an older design to kind of put the chip front and center. But in this instance, when you're putting it in a device that is already pretty weird device in the lineup, it doesn't really kind of put the best foot forwards.
I think the M2 MacBook Air is going to be where it's at. You know, hopefully they actually don't have to push it back anymore. It's supposed to be in July, so anytime, you know, starting Friday, on, we could start seeing pre-order links pop up. I'm excited to test it out. I do think the M2 MacBook Pro has a place. If you are on an Intel machine, you should definitely upgrade to any of the Apple Silicon. It's by far, in my opinion, better than any of the Intel machines that I've used. I think you guys can agree. But what about the MacBook Air? What's got you excited about that? Are you going to pick one up? Are you going to use it? Or is it just going to be something you pick and make a video on? Which, by the way, I update. You can go check out his videos.
Thanks, Mr. Sam. I mean, listen, I'm super excited for the MacBook Air. Like, it'll be a great new design. I did not get to go hands-on with it at DubDub, so, like, I still don't have that perspective for exactly how thin it's going to be. But it seems pretty impressive. So, I mean, I'm going to get it. Whether I'm going to keep it or not, I don't know, because I every time I open my 16-inch MacBook Pro, I'm so just nice. Like, this is perfect. Like, it's I don't so know. Nice. It's just perfect. I have zero complaints about that computer.
So wait, when did you bring it with you last week at VidCon?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you kind of get like, all right, it's a little bit too big and heavy sometimes? That would be my only complaint, but I also love the big screen. So
yeah. I want the power of the M1 Max. So I'm like, I'm cool with that. Right. Like, sure, it's a little bit bigger, but I don't want to even say that, because then Apple's going to be like, the MacBook Pro has to be thin, because that's what they did for so long. They're like, it has to be ultra thin. And it's like, no, man, let the Pro be thick. That's fine. It just make it – it's so worth it to have a little bit of extra heft. But sure, I'm excited for the form factor of the Air. I mean, it's going to be the notebook that probably most people end up getting.
I agree. I think that's probably the one that most people would recommend, right, Hartley?
Yeah, I think the issue is the price point. I think that it's a lot of people that are going to be buying the MacBook, the new MacBook Air at that price point. The 14-inch MacBook Pro is not all that far away. So it kind of feels a little weird to keep the M1 in the lineup for $999 exactly the same, because the kind of market for the MacBook Air needs to be clearly separated. And the people that are excited for this MacBook Air largely are the kind of people that were interested in the MacBook Pro. So it leaves it in a strange place. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the Mac lineup with this M2 MacBook Pro and the way they've priced the MacBook Air. And maybe when it comes down in price, that will be the kind of perfect device for those users. But at the moment, I'm not so sure at that price point. It's clearly a great redesign, but without those ports, without the mini LED display, without ProMotion, it's just kind of not... I don't know if it can justify the price that they're asking for, at least.
That's a good point, because it starts like $300 higher than the M1 MacBook Air. Or sorry, $200 higher. Which is, yeah. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't tell anybody to like get the M2 MacBook Air over the M1 MacBook Air.
So wait, like it starts at $1,299, right?
I think that's $1,199 for the MacBook Air.
Okay. And $1,299 is the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting to see. I'm not getting a base model one, though, so I don't know. Maybe we'd have to get two. How much of a difference there might be between the base model? I mean, there wouldn't be, right? So why would anyone buy the base model MacBook Pro for an extra $100, right?
Did you get Or am I thinking this wrong? You get the touch bar and the fan, man. That's going to be worth it.
The audience for this MacBook Pro, I don't get it. I know it exists because obviously it's more powerful because it's got active cooling, and it's got a longer battery life, so it's kind of more pro. But what people are buying the MacBook Pro 13-inch as a pro device?
Nobody.
There must be like 10 people that think that's great.
Not that base model, at least. Maybe if you configure it a little more, but...
See, this is where I disagree, because I objectively know it's not a pro model, but I think a lot of people will walk into the Apple store and be like, yo, what's the cheapest MacBook Pro? Oh, hey, it's right here. It's $1,299. It's got the M2 inside. Just came out. Oh, sweet. I'll take one of that. That's perfect. Like, yeah. I feel like people underestimate... Because you have to realize the jump is from what, $1,300 on the MacBook Pro 13-inch to $1,799. Like $500 is a lot. Now, I think it's worth it, right? But I think a lot of people are going to say, hey, I'm going to school or I need a new laptop for work. And it's like, oh, newest Apple chip. Sweet. $1,300. Let's go. Thank you. Have a good one. Walk out the store. Now, there's also the M2 MacBook Air, but I feel like this gets into buyer psychology where it's like, oh, well, there's the Pro. And the Pro has the pretty touch bar. That looks more professional, right? Even though the MacBook Air just got redesigned. I got DMs from people when I talked about this before. And they were like, yo, my boss is this exact person you described. Like, he just wants to feel like he's using something slightly more special. So yeah. He's going to walk and buy this on day one because he wants the new MacBook Pro with M2. Now, of course, I agree. I recommend this to no one. And I disagree that it's even a thing. My point is that I understand why Apple did it. And I don't agree. Power, isn't it? I just get it. You know, I wouldn't buy it, right? I'm not telling anyone I know to buy it, but there's going to be a lot of people that I think do end up buying it because of the way it's situated. And it feels a little bit better. It's a familiar design.
It's hard for me to like think about if anyone's like, hey, should I buy this MacBook Pro? No, I don't think so. But
yeah, like if you're, I think I try to make this point at the end of my video, but I'm like, this video is for the people that don't know this Mac is for the people that don't know what's going on. Like, nobody that knows what's going on is going to be like, this is the Mac I've been waiting for, man. Or unless you're one of the three people that are like, the touch bar shouldn't have gone away.
Sure.
Then you got lucky, man. You get one more chance of the newest Apple Silicon. You better buy that. You better buy that touch bar. Everybody who left a comment that said their life is ruined because the touch bar gone. Better buy that touch bar, Mac.
You better max this out.
Yeah,
max it out because it's going to need the last two for years.
Oh, anyway, sorry. I don't love the touch bar. It made my life harder.
That's about it. I don't think we really need to talk too much more about the MacBooks, except for when the MacBook Air comes out. But as of right now, if you're thinking about one of these two and you're like, should I wait? Should I not? I would just wait and check out the MacBook Air first and see if that is kind of more your style.
Yeah, please.
And now we're going to move on to even more riveting conversation, the HomePod. Whoa.
Yeah, we love the HomePod.
We talked about the HomePod at VidCon too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Because I was supposed to sell one to Andrew.
I use them. I don't think they're good.
It's coming. Whoa. We're talking about, hold on, let me give you some more context, because we're talking about the original sized HomePod is potentially making a comeback.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, the minis are, they are what they are, but.
Yeah.
They're cheap. You can't complain they're overpriced.
Right. They're the entry level way of getting like a Siri that's not on your phone into your house. I wouldn't use them for music, but go ahead, Sam.
Like I just the Siri is so inconsistent. Like, they're just, all of them from the old one or the mini are just so unreliable. They don't follow through, and I still use them. Like, I don't want people to listen to this and be like, just use something else. It's like, no, I'm trapped, man. I'm absolutely trapped because I do enjoy Siri being able to like set reminders across all my devices. That's nice. But at the same time, I'm still unhappy. I'm still not satisfied with where they're at. Yet I'm noticing my A8 powered full size OG HomePod. It's getting slower like every week. So I'm incredibly excited for something new because that one's actually cool. The cheap one to me, I don't know, man. It's just like the sound is just so bad. It's not bad. It's just not good. I don't know. It's just so average.
I think they're impressive for the size, right? Does anyone else agree with me on that? Obviously, Sam doesn't, but
I do. I think that if you're using them in like a home theater setup, you're using them wrong because they're meant for like a side table. Just that is quite nice to be able to maybe play a song through that with AirPlay 2 with other speakers, or just for like basic audio playback. They're fine, but the big HomePod needs to be there, because how can you have a mini without a main?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think I'm gonna make the transition. So, you know, you think you're stuck. I did not think I was stuck in that instance. I've been using Google for like the longest time. We're still using like a bunch of Google displays and homes at our house, mostly because of the cameras. I think I mentioned this in our last podcast. Like, there's just no reliable HomeKit camera that I found that I've liked. I have not found any that work as well as the Nest cams do. And so if I could just get the Nest cams into the home app, which you can, I got DM'd a bunch of different ways. So thank you to all of those people who did that. There are ways to do it. I'm going to try them out because I do want to keep using at least the Nest cams. But yeah, I've always used them, but I would like to transition over to HomePods in my house. I don't want minis everywhere though. I do want something with good sound. So I am excited for it to come back. I would like to see them do like what Amazon and Google has done with like having displays on it. How would you feel about that?
Well, there've been rumors about that, right? I think Gurman said that they've been working on that. That'd be interesting. I'd be down to see what it looks like. I feel like it does get a little gimmicky in that department, but I'm also saying that having never used one. So I've never spent a lot of time with like a screen speaker combo, but I always feel like there'd be some compromise there where like just an iPad would be a better device by itself. I feel like anytime you're trying to like combine things together, it just kind of gets weird.
So
what do you think if they were to keep the form factor of the HomePod basically the same, but just have that top display be a little bigger with multi-touch so that when you set a timer, you can actually just glance at the timer on the top, or when a song is playing back, you can actually see how far through the track it is, or maybe the track name. Maybe if it's not like full interaction, it would just give you like glanceable information.
I like that. That sounds cool.
If it displays the album artwork, I'd be all over that. I don't know why. I just feel like that would be like eye-catching a little bit, makes it a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hartley, I didn't think about that.
I do like the displays.
Well, I think that's what Gurman's going for. That's kind of what I took from his wording. I mean, it was pretty vague wording, so it's hard to tell. But he just said larger display with multi-touch. So to me, that would make sense that you could just get glanceable information that you could vaguely interact with. I mean, even the ability to skip a song. If there was just a button for me to do that, that would be really handy. Yeah. Especially, I think it could kind of hide how bad Siri is a little as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm down for that. Give me HomePods like that.
So since you guys use it more often, do you use it for like smart home stuff too?
I do not. I do. Okay.
Okay, so then, Hartley, how bad is Siri really with controlling smart home stuff?
It's definitely got better, but it still just fails at basic things. I'm a bit confused this week, actually, about HomePod and Siri, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but last year, local processing for Siri was added to the HomePod, right? I know it was on iPad and iPhone, but I think it was also on HomePod. So why, when I ask Siri how long is left on a timer, why does it say it? Why does it kind of just stall and not tell me? So that's not a local processing thing. I don't know what's going on, but it definitely should still not be doing that. So it's okay with smart home, but Siri just finds new ways to be disappointing. It definitely has got better. I don't want to be too negative. It's definitely better, but
Harley's always worried about being negative because we've been called out for being too negative.
Yeah, well, I feel like where we're like when we're people that do this stuff all day every day, it's easy to just complain. But
yeah,
Siri has got better. It's just basic. If it can't tell me how long is left on a timer when I'm cooking, that is a basic problem.
It's true. I'm looking at this now. It looks like it might only be processed on your iPhone or iPad, but then Siri requests that flow to your HomePod go. Now it sounds like it is, since the processing will be done on your HomeKit Hub's chip. So it could be maybe only the HomePod Mini does it because it's got the newer chip.
But if it's over Wi-Fi, if it's doing it on the Home Hub HomePod, but you're not talking to the Home Hub HomePod, then maybe that's why. But it needs to be able
either
to do
way,
stuff
yeah. locally. Yeah, like either way, that should just happen. If Siri can't set a timer on the HomePod, come on, guys. Like, let's make that a little bit faster. I'm not afraid to be negative because I'm just being honest, man. Like, listen, you heard me rave about the MacBook Pros. When Apple nails something, 100%, dude. Like, I'm the number one Apple stan here, I'd say. But when they mess it up, man.
Throwing stuff out.
I am. I'm making claims when
throwing out bold claims.
When when Siri, you know, has been around since the iPhone 4S, and still to this day, I cannot call it reliable. Like, that's where it's a problem. I'm not even asking it to be good. I'm just asking it to be reliable or consistent, and I can't say that.
So you guys are pretty young. So maybe this might not hit home as much as resident old man and 53-year-old guy, according to Sam. You know, I'm getting more into the family stuff. So like, I like that my Google Home or Nest Hub, I don't know, they've changed the name so many times, can like display photos and stuff, which it takes work to do it. And you have to like, I guess if you maybe have an Android device, it'll be more seamless for you. And, you know, all of your photos saved to the photo library anyways. And so you can kind of do it. But like on an iPhone, it just requires a little bit more work. And I'd imagine that Apple, if they ever do come out with something like that, where there's a display that can display photos, I think for so many of us who have all that stuff already tied in, it's going to be a much easier process to be like, hey, here are the people that I want, or here are the albums that I want. Maybe just display the memories that you've got. Like, I like the idea of using stuff like that, being able to AirPlay some videos. You know, it has come in handy to be able to throw like a quick YouTube video up for my kid or something like that if things are going on in the background and they want to watch something. You know, it sometimes could be easier depending on, you know, the situation that you're in. And plus, I just think it looks kind of nice in your kitchen or in your bedroom or something. Like, you can use it as an alarm clock. You know, if Siri got better at the alarm portion of it, maybe you'd use it and it'd be feel, you know, comfortable that it would wake you up on time. Sam, I don't know if you use Siri to get yourself woken up for this podcast recording, but she obviously failed. Or he, depending on which one you have it set to.
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened.
Go ahead.
It was 10:45 and I went, oh man, I couldn't fall asleep randomly last night. Never happened. They just like, so I'm like, all right, set a timer 15 minutes. And then I woke up at 11 on the dot, right? I would have seen immediately that you had texted me because I grabbed my phone. And I sat up in bed and I was like, hey Siri, set a timer for 15 more minutes. And then I laid back down and that was my dying breath as I knocked out for 15 more minutes. So then I woke up at like 11:60. I think I just heard my Siri go off. Sorry to everybody listening that I just made your HomePod go off. But yeah, I woke up at 11:16 and I was like, oh, why am I still so dead? And then I just saw, Seth.
We were giving up, like, at that point. We were gonna reach out to random people on Twitter.
Jesus, I mean, it probably would be better. There'd probably be some more support for the HomePod. But
no, it's fine. You don't have to support. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and see if there's a reason. You know, again, I don't use the display to the fullest extent, but I think, like, I guess at that point it would just be a really expensive. Oh, and there's another thing, but let me finish my thought. I guess it would be a really expensive photo frame for some, but also video calls. That was kind of the whole point of why Apple wanted to do that too. With like this, that's when the rumors came out fresh, was like during COVID times, I believe, like the peak COVID was like Zoom generation. Everybody's doing stuff from home. So take your FaceTime or Zoom calls at your HomePod if you need to. And I do kind of like the idea of that, especially if they can do what I think Facebook kind of originally started that with their whatever tracking device. Yeah. I don't remember what it's called. The Facebook Watch You at Home Even More device. They, you know, can track you around with that. And then Amazon did that with its Echo. I think that would be cool. But I could be the only one. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, I think that could be cool. Like, I think that would be neat. I think my only lack of hesitation for any future HomePods is just that if it's just new hardware, like, no matter how good that hardware is, it's kind of how I feel about iPadOS, right? Like, they can throw the best hardware in the world, but if it's still just not there, then I'm just kind of like, I'm gonna buy it. Like, I'm sure I'm gonna try it out at least. I would definitely keep a video call option HomePod and speaker, but my excitement is still tailored to the expectations that we've seen in the past.
I think that you kind of can't help but also think about Apple TV with this, because the long-term strategy here is the smart home, and you can kind of imagine a variant of tvOS. I mean, tvOS does run on the HomePod at the moment, as far as I know. But visually, tvOS would kind of work on a HomePod. So, and it's got the FaceTime frameworks in there. It's got everything it needs. It all just kind of needs to be switched on. Although I don't think that's what we're getting with what Ming-Chi Kuo is describing, with what Mark Gurman is describing. I think they are literally describing the same original HomePod in terms of audio hardware, but with the S8 chip, which is basically the same as the S6 chip from the Apple Watch Series 6. And the rest will have to come from software. I think you're exactly right, Sam. And I think that's what Apple knows, that they're kind of going to relaunch the same product, but they're going to have to be able to say, now Siri is processed locally, or now there is this kind of the software is there to support it. Although it would kind of also help if they actually made handoff work. There definitely are hardware things.
Handoff is one of the worst things that I ever encounter. I like the idea of it, but it is so annoying that, like, the moment I am within a vicinity of my HomePod, like, my phone starts freaking out, or it just starts transferring stuff, and I'm like, why are you doing that? I don't want you to do that. Or then when I do want it to do it, it doesn't work properly. So
I forgot that was a feature until you guys said that. I'm going to be honest. I've used that one time in my life, but I should start trying to use it more. Does it work on the OG HomePod, or is it only the Mini?
It does work on the original HomePod, but the difference is that it doesn't have the U1 chip, so you don't get the animations, and I think it's literally just using like Bluetooth or something to kind of tell when it's close, so it's a lot more unreliable. But my experience on both the HomePod Mini and the original HomePod is bad for that. Although the HomePod was kind of always doomed to fail because they announced it when? At WWDC 2017, and it didn't ship until like April the following year. So they were having serious problems with this device. I mean, it didn't launch with home theater capability. It didn't launch with that handoff feature. It didn't even launch with the ability to tell the difference between different voices that were speaking to it. So whatever was going on with the HomePod was there when they were developing it. It's never been perfect. The HomePod Mini is clearly more refined, but it needs a second chance, really, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Here's my main wish list, and here's the reason why I'm excited for an original HomePod to come back. They sound so good. Like, they sound
way better.
So good. And that's, ultimately what they're supposed to do is, sound good. But I use them here at the office. I mean, granted, we don't watch a lot of TV here, but, like, whenever I do throw on, like, the Apple's events or whatever, that's my main source of, audio for it. It works so well for home theater. It sounds great. In a small apartment, you got two of those things. You don't need a soundbar. You don't need anything. Like, that's fine. Now, at my house, it would be nice that if these new ones could support Dolby Atmos, maybe you could do four of them or link up others to get, like, a surround sound experience. That would be my dream. I don't know if that's possible. I'm sure it's possible, but I don't know if it's, like, possible for what they're trying to do with this next one.
It seems smart. Yeah,
they're all into that. They're all into Dolby Atmos. They're all into, like, all of that. I just don't understand. Maybe spatial audio probably wouldn't work because it's not headphones, but, like, Dolby for sure. And you can make, combine it with your Apple TV and make it like a true home theater kind of setup. I think a lot of people would buy multiple for sure.
Yeah.
Harley, you were looking skeptical though. Is there something wrong with?
I'm not skeptical. I agree. I think the problem, as far as I see it, is the audio hardware is already so good that the problems they've got to address are not really audio related. So if when they debut the new HomePod and they are only talking about audio hardware, I don't think people are going to be convinced, because it's not the audio hardware that people are skeptical about. It's everything else it does.
I think if they marketed for the home theater stuff, that a lot of people would be about it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, there'll be color options. People always get excited about that.
Oh, are they actually going to do colors instead of black and white?
Well, I don't know. But if they're doing them for the Mini, they got to do it for the...
No, they won't. Whatever they call it. No, because the Mini is like the everyday one for everyday people. And then I would consider that Apple's thinking the big home pods are like the pro ones. And, the pros don't get colors.
An old one or a new one, if they've got a fairly similar shape and design, if you haven't got new colors.
I don't know. Ask the MacBook Pro. How do you know that's the M2 versus the M1? You don't.
Yeah. You've got me there, but then the MacBook Pro is not a
lawyer.
Not very different product.
I had to pick something that I could use as my argument. You're right. I mean, maybe if they update that screen, but
And to be clear, Gurman also didn't say the exact same design. He said more similar to the original HomePod in terms of shape and design rather than the Mini. So I don't think it's going to be exactly the same hardware. I'm sure it'll be very similar, but I feel like the design is going to have to be a little different if they bring it back. There's no way they just bring back like a new chip in the old design. There's no way. That will fail again. And what's the price point for this? Like, it clearly failed at $350. It's the only Apple product in recent history that they brought down to $299 because it didn't sell. And it even failed there.
But why can I sell mine right now for like $550? Is it because it's discontinued?
Yeah, that's why.
Okay. Because I have an unopened box, by the way. Anyone want to make me an extravagant offer? I have a new inbox HomePod. Hit up those DMs, please. I will take anything above $550. I'm trying to. Yeah.
You're going to get somebody that'll say yes to that.
Guaranteed. Go for it. I got a Disney trip to pay for. Let's go.
Yeah, that's like what, two tickets?
It's not even. You were just at Disney, you know. How much was your ticket for Disney?
Well, the ticket and how much I spent for one day are two different questions.
Yeah.
I think my ticket was $220.
Oh my gosh.
I think my spent was probably $400 to $500 in that park, bro.
So what did you do there? I didn't go with them, I had to do work.
It was so fun. It was a little beta update. Come on, man. You should have been with us. We missed you.
Listen, I think my kids would have killed me if they knew that I went to Disney without them when I'm going in like 4 days. I think they would have been furious. What did you do at Disney for $400? Well, I mean, I know it's easy to spend money there, but like.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the Star Wars section. They've got the special drinks. You go buy some popcorn. You buy some snacks. You buy food. You buy the lightning lane. Then there's like bonus lightning lanes. You have to pay $20 just to get in the lightning lane for this Star Wars ride because it's so pricey. So, yeah, it was probably a lot. I didn't buy any souvenirs, though, or like build my own lightsaber. Then there's like all that stuff. The custom BB-8 units, the custom, I'm sure they have like Build-A-Bear stuff there, you know.
You could have said what you wanted to say.
Yeah, I don't know. This is Mac Rumors. There's editorial standards at this publication.
There are. It's true. You should be on the up and up. We did bring up the Apple TV earlier, and so that is actually going to be our next thing to talk about. There's going to be a new Apple TV, which is probably going to be very underwhelming to most people, except for one thing that I can think of. Can you guess what that is?
Gaming.
No, I don't care about that. The new Siri remote.
But the current remote is like perfect, I feel like.
Is it perfect, or are there a couple things that it's missing that the new one's going to have that you're going to be like, no, yeah, you're right. That makes sense.
Tell me, Dan. Tell the people.
No, you tell me. What is it missing? What is it?
I currently don't own the new remote or an Apple TV, so you tell me, bro. I know.
It's missing Find My.
Oh, duh. Sorry. Yeah, that's going to happen. That'll be cool. And but I do want to say I have an Apple TV, to be clear, but I lost my remote years ago. So I can't.
What do you use? Your phone?
No, like it's too far gone to the point where like you need a remote, and I just haven't bought a remote.
It's not that bad, man. I can get you a remote. I got one here I can send you if you'd like.
Oh, well, now I have to find the Apple TV. This is like a fourth generation from 2015.
I've got plenty of remotes if you need one. You just let me know.
Okay. I will. Thank you, Dad. I mean, Dan. So, okay, Find My would be good. Find My would be a big deal. I agree. That should have been on the last generation. I remember I was reading Mac Rumors, my favorite Apple news blog, when they said there's no Find My. I was like, this is freaking BS, man. I feel like it's probably time for like a UI redesign, because I think it was 2015 when we got the last revamp. And you know, I have a theory that I'll throw out here. Maybe, you know, new HomePods coming in the future, new Apple TVs coming in the future. Where are these devices found? They're found in the home, guys. Remember those leaked job listings that Mac Rumors was the first to report on about Home OS? Maybe the merge is finally going to happen. Maybe we're going to get a Home OS released with these, and Apple's like, so these, we want to introduce Home OS, and then we want to show you the products that it's going to be on. Maybe this is why things have been, you know, mediocre at a standstill. That would make sense to me why they did not cover TVOS, because it's like, well, TVOS isn't really going to be a thing for much longer. I mean, we saw Apple talking about HomeOS. It makes sense that, like, it doesn't make sense publicly to be like, TVOS runs on a HomePod. What? That just sounds silly. Or yeah. Like, you know, that any of home devices would run TVOS or even iOS. It's like, no, make this own special thing called HomeOS. Makes sense. Stuff in the home lines with the branding. And well, frankly, I think that would be a good idea. I think a fresh start for these devices could be in order.
Yeah, and the redesigned home app would kind of fit really nicely in with that as well. But all the groundwork's there. Like they've taken the first steps by moving the HomePod off of iOS and onto tvOS, and with the redesigned home app, I think there's plenty. I mean, the fact that there is no home app on the Apple TV is really not a very good endorsement of that device as a smart home device. Even with Matter coming out, that's a pretty good excuse if you want to explain to consumers why Matter matters.
Oh yeah. Love it.
That's good. That's good, man.
Yeah. If you really want to look at it like that, Apple's. Thank you. Apple's got to explain that. I don't think they did a great job of telling you why.
Do you have the Rodecast? Sorry, this is. Do you have the Rodecaster thing? Is that?
Yeah.
Do my buttons work? Keep going, Hartley. I'll be right back.
No. You have to add the sound effects to it, bro.
Wait, hold on.
Oh yeah, there's pre.
I was gonna say, can you hear the ones that I just did?
Yeah.
Why can't I hear them?
Because I'm plugged directly into my Rodecaster with a wire. I don't know if you guys can tell. I do wired for every podcast, so I'm going straight into my Rodecaster as an interface.
Dan is just discovering everything he didn't know he could do.
Can you tell me what this sound is? Because I don't know what it is.
It's like a just picture the most royalty free rock track.
Nice. Tell me when I get to sad trombone.
Oh, that's actually laughter.
Oh, good. What's this one?
Wait, those are all my sound effects.
They're all pre-programmed.
What?
Is it doing yours?
Dude, some of them were like identical in the order that I have mine, but these are actually custom.
What? Did you just redo the same thing? Did you just reorder them?
I think I did. Same one? There are some custom. I have some custom things. But
which
not
one's the sad trombone?
No.
It's got to be this one then.
The magic one. That's terrifying.
Guys, whatever I just did just now, I can't hear, so I apologize. Or maybe it was awesome for you. I don't know. But
no. This is turning into Genius Bar very quickly.
That's fine. We need a little bit more fun on this podcast sometimes, you know? Bringing it back to the Apple TV. Are we all just bored by it? I mean, we could just scrap that.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Let's move on. That was actually our last topic. So is there anything you'd like to talk to us about as a fellow podcaster, Apple person that covers things? You got questions for us?
I do, man. What is it like to work for the number one Apple news website in the world?
Hartley, I'll let you go.
I was hoping you'd answer that one, Dan.
Well, I personally love it. It's nice. I don't know if he's listening. My guess is probably not. But Arn, it's a pleasure to work for you. It is your birthday today, so happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Here, hold on. Where's this lap? No, where's the?
That's clapping.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Happy birthday. We're all clapping for you. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I've been here for almost 5 years now. I have no intentions on moving on to anywhere else. It's a great place to work. I don't actually do any of the number one website stuff. I think our YouTube channel is like number 6,000. I don't know where we rank, you know, so I can't speak from that part. But Hartley could. That's if great. He's not going to dodge the question again.
I couldn't describe it in a succinct way, I guess. It is fun in short, okay. I guess is the easiest succinct way to put it.
How is it doing a podcast with John?
You know, he's right about every leak he has, right? So it doesn't put me in an awkward spot.
So right about everything.
Yeah.
Like the Apple Watch Series 7. So right.
Yeah. Square Apple Watch. Yeah. Everybody down below, freaking roast John in the comments, dude. That scumbag. I wouldn't be caught dead with him. I'm just kidding. I love you, John. He's the best. He's a great person. And it's great doing a show with him. He always keeps it interesting, even if he is a child. I think that's a fair representation of his character. Great, great person. Best child I've ever done a podcast with.
How many children have you done podcasts with?
And guys, that is, do you have a button to end the show?
Yeah, it's right here. Oh. All right.
No, I don't know. Did you guys talk about AirPods Pro 2? I think that's the only other like big thing that happened in the past week.
We have talked about it with Ian, right? We had Ian on, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, was that long ago? Yeah, Ian's great. Ian's actually
literally last week, but yeah.
Well, it's been a minute. Never mind. AirPods Pro 2, cool. Very excited. Going to be game changing if they have a heartbeats less temperature sensor. That's all I have to say.
It's going to have a what?
It's going to have a heartbeat / temperature sensor.
The AirPods? Oh, I'd miss something.
Bro, yeah. I think maybe this is a new leak. This is the AirPods Pro 2 leak from 52 Audio.
This has emerged since we spoke to Ian, Dan.
Oh, and I was at VidCon and I looked at nothing, so except for the beta stuff. So what is this? Enlighten me.
So AirPods Pro 2. Let me go over to AppleTrack.com and just read
the number one Apple website.
It's like like you said, it's like the number 6,000 Apple website. So it's gonna be a similar design, but there's gonna be a speaker and microphone on the case, which you guys had actually leaked initially, so that's not new. But that thing on the side that we thought was for a lanyard or like a little piece of yarn you could tie to your wrist, that is actually to be used with hearing aids. Okay, it's gonna be used for hearing aids. That little metal thing on the side, that's what 52 Audio says, and they've got a good track record. But then USB-C on the case. It gets crazy though when we get to the buds. All right, let me just lay it on you. The buds are gonna have a heartbeat sensor inside, just like the Apple Watch can measure your heart rate. I should say it's a heart rate sensor, not like a heartbeat. It's not like, are you alive? You know,
sure.
I'm hoping that if I'm using AirPods, I'm happy and alive. But they say the same heartbeat sensor. What am I saying? Heartbeat, heart rate sensor can still take temperature. Now, they weren't conclusive on this, but they said they believe it has the ability to read body temperature. This is literally a feature I've been asking for. You can go back to like 2017, 2018 in my videos, and I'm talking about how this needs to happen on AirPods. So if this actually happens, bruh.
You need to get some royalties for that. Maybe a kickback?
At least a small one, at least a few milli.
I would think that's at least fair.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I'm not a doctor. I know Sam is in part-time moonlighting.
Yes.
Can you actually get your heart rate in your ears? How is that? How accurate is that going to be?
I don't know about heart rate, but like, you know, that's common how you take a child's. Why are we talking about jewelry? How we think a child's temperature is through their ear. Yeah. I don't know. I was a child. They stuck something in my ear. I don't know what it was.
At my age, I feel like you're all children to me anyway, so it's fine. Sure. the temperature, which, by the way, an adult could also do it in the ear if they wanted to, I think, right? That makes sense. But no, the heart rate is what I'm curious about. Like, I just didn't think you could do that.
It's a lot of tech to pack in such a small.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of cautious about talking about these new AirPods Pro rumors. And it's because I am very skeptical about this report. Without casting too much shade, I would not describe this as a reliable source.
Without casting too much shade and then drops a bomb.
Well, you gotta let me know why, because they've been right on every leak in the past.
Is this a shocked sound?
I disagree.
No. And I'll tell you why. Okay, tell me, please.
Because they, as soon as Mark Gurman said that the AirPods 3 would have in-ear tips, they came out with renders of in-ear tips and were responsible for continuing to say that AirPods 3 would have in-ear tips. Mark Gurman said it once. They were the outlet that effectively led everyone to believe that that was the case with renders that were, whether you want, they didn't, I don't know if they necessarily said they were artistic renders, but the renders they come out with are not official renders. you can tell that by the renders that they've just produced, the skin detect sensor, which apparently also is going to take your temperature and body temperature and heart rate and be a skin detect sensor, is like the size of a pinhead. It's smaller than it is on the normal AirPods anyway. And also they've done things in the past, like images have been stretched or photoshopped that they have said were legitimate. It's kind of patchy because a lot of this stuff from this report we kind of have heard before. The Find My stuff, even the health stuff, it was actually Ming-Chi Kuo who's been saying all of that for a long time, that Apple was working on that in the long term. So I know they've said something's right, but I wonder if that's because previous reports have been echoed in previous years. So I'm not saying that they're always wrong, because they're definitely not, but I think there's more stuff going on with these reports than meets the eye.
Have Fair. They ever been first on anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me just go over to appletrack.com/52audio. Let's take a look at their track record. They're actually 83.3% accurate. Out of all the weeks they've gotten right, there's only two they've gotten wrong, according to my research. In 2019, they gave us our first look at AirPods Pro. They confirmed that there would be an entirely new pod shape and that AirPods Pro would be more expensive, spot on all three. In 2020, they said initially AirPods 3, they gave us our first look, which I believe was without the ear tips. Unless I got this wrong. Hold on, their website's loading. It's very slow. But yeah, I'm looking at the images that were photoshopped a bit. All right, they were a bit stretched. But the actual design of the pods, the real hands-on photos, they were pretty close. Okay, maybe the grill was a little bit different, but they were pretty similar to what we ended up seeing. So I'm going to count that as correct because it's very, very close to what we got. And then they said it won't have active noise cancellation and it would have an H1 chip. That was right. Where things got wrong, all right, is where they said they were going to be optional ear tips and that they would cost $150, even cheaper than AirPods 2 when they were actually more expensive. But they were right that they would have wireless charging. They were right that AirPods 3 would have a smaller charging case. And they were right that there would be a... Okay, maybe this is... I think I marked this wrong. This says AirPods 3 will have a semi-ear in-ear design. And I marked that correct, all right? That's
what
just straight up wrong.
What is this website? What is this website?
So it's a little bit less. My point being... They're the website that gets this stuff right for audio more than anybody else. Okay. So sure, I agree, Hartley. Like, I am also skeptical that this little sensor is going to do so much. But design-wise, I think they're spot on. You know, perhaps they copied, like, the Mac Rumors leak from a year ago. That's possible, right? They have done some weird things with images. But to me, I was just like, this image looks weird. I'm not even going to show that because it kind of looked Photoshopped to me in the first place. So maybe you're right. Right. Maybe they're getting a little too excited. Maybe they're just saying this for the clout. I think then this will be the determining leak for them. Because, yeah, if the two biggest parts of this don't come true, then my take on them will change. Right. But okay. There have been other reports in the past from Guo and others that said AirPods Pro 2 would have a heart rate sensor.
Even then, though, we can't attribute it to them if it does have it, because it would be Guo, really, who is the first. I don't know what I don't know. I think I've kind of been down on these rumors ever since the images came out that were photoshopped a while ago, because I think it's one thing if we at Mac Rumors were to share images that emerged, were photoshopped, we would say we're not sure if these are legitimate. But I think it's different if you say this is a leaked schematic, but it is a photoshopped image. And that kind of makes me skeptical across the board. And I guess that's a kind of a shame, because you're right. They definitely have been right, but it gets messy when different. I mean, look, a good example is Apple Watch Series 7. John Prosser was not the only person to say about the squared off design, but everyone attributes it to him. Yeah. So rumors can get messy with things being repeated or things coming from different directions. So yeah.
Fair
we'll
enough.
See.
Fair point. We'll see. We'll see if Team Chartley or Team Sam wins. I just want to see this temperature sensor so bad, because it's been a dream of mine forever. And I think that merging technology with temperature, especially like in the age of COVID, oh, so brilliant. That would be so useful. Like, imagine you didn't even know you had a fever yet. And then your phone was like, hey, we've noticed your temperature is running a bit higher than you normally do. And then you're like, oh, I should probably do a COVID test. And then you like save people from getting sick. That would be, that's just like that's a dream in my future, right? Like that sounds so cool. So I think some of my excitement could be blinding me towards this particular source.
And it makes AirPods kind of more of a health and fitness device.
Which is a
great selling point. And I think that the other thing you have to bear in mind with the Apple Watch is all the data the Apple Watch is getting is just from one place on the body. If Apple can get access to another place, and the inside of the ear is a great place for, I wasn't expecting to say that on this podcast. It's a great place for taking a temperature, as we discussed.
Yeah.
So it's of all like places on the body to get data from, that's a pretty good place. So although you couldn't get it all the time, it's not going to be like 24-hour health monitoring like it is from the Apple Watch. I think it's they can't make the sound quality much better. So if they can pack a little sensor into that, I think that's a great selling point.
That would then make this not a press release style update like we were originally starting to think, because it's been rumored for ages and then it's just like hasn't come. So we're like, all right, they're going to look exactly the same now as the report, and like, you know, they're going to be pretty similar. So I just think they're going to get dropped on a random Wednesday afternoon via press release. But if they do pack all of that, then no, they can't do that. They'd have to have it at one of the events in either September or October. Which Apple, we would love to go to, Apple, if you would love to have us, just, you know, let us know. Is there anything else that you want to ask us?
I don't know. I thought this was like me coming on your show, not me. I'm trying to host this, guys. I mean, I don't know what people want.
You've been doing it longer than we have, so you might as well just take over.
All right, real question.
Okay.
Was this because of Genius Bar? Are we here today because of Genius Bar? You guys see that there's increasing competition in the podcast space. Is Mac Rumors Show a response? I need an answer.
Well, honestly, so
yes.
we had. Thank you. No, we had. What is
Genius?
We don't even know what Genius Bar is, man. Calm down. No, honestly, we met for the first time in person last week, like I said earlier, and I liked you. So I was like, you know what? We need a guest for this week. Let's just have Sam on. And we're like, he'd be a good guest. He's got experience in podcasting and like seems like a cool dude that we can have on. There's not a whole lot of news, so we figured he'd make this interesting. And boy, was this interesting.
Yeah. No, Dan, we got to have you on Genius Bar.
Do we? Because John was going to have me on and then I just never heard back. So I'm starting to think that this is just fluff.
John has been known to be a Snapchat emoji sometimes. He'll be ghosting out there. But, you know, we're working on that. You know, as his manager, as his momager, I'm trying to help him out. No, we'll have you on, man. We'll make it happen. We just recorded this week's. I was going to be like, we'll have you on this week, but then that already happened.
So I guess it'll be back when I get back from Disney. Not next week.
When are you going to be back?
I'm gone all next week, but then I'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
I mean, I
don't know. Apple,
so it's fine.
Apple school. Hopefully, get release dates for the MacBook Air soon. Otherwise, it's going to be a slow summer until the iPhones.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up here then. Sam, thank you so much. If you want to let everyone know where we can find you, even though we've done that a bunch already, but go ahead. Shout out your Twitter, your verified Twitter.
Oh, you know, thank you, man. I worked so hard. It's twitter.com/iupdate. YouTube.com/iupdate. I just realized all my URLs are that interesting. Anyway, that's where I am. Those are the places that I'm active. You also follow me on everywhere, man.
Follow me everywhere.
Does anybody actually do that at the end of the shows when you like shout out your stuff? I always question that.
I'm convinced people don't make it this far, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you made it this far, tweet me at iupdate and say what you thought of me on the Mac Rumors Show. Thanks, guys. And we'll catch you in the next one.
Well, I am the host. You do not take over. All right, that's fine. We'll catch you in the next one. That's fine.